What's on my mind today, as empty as it is today, it's kind of empty, maybe that's why, but is the topic of joy. And joy is a very important quality or aspect of the Buddhist spiritual path. And there's an expectation that as a person moves along the path, sooner or later, some people sooner and some people later, that joy is a part of that path. Joy can coexist with other states. It can coexist with sadness and pain. So it doesn't have to be just, you know, only joy. But joy is an integral part of the path. And because of its intimate connection to the Buddhist path, perhaps, you find in the kind of technical language of Buddhism a lot of different words for joy. And probably not any more words than we have in English, but you find just wonderful, wonderful words. And so you find words like happiness and joy, gladness, delight. And then there's a kind of words that describe different kinds of joy that are translated into English as things like minor joy, uplifting joy, pervading joy, cascading joy, just to get little nuances of differences of how they are. And they can be quite strong. The joy can be, it's cascading joy can be quite strong. Meditators can feel sometimes. I've had it on retreat where I left a session of meditation to go to lunch. And it took me a long, long time. I don't know. I was the last person in the dining room still sitting there. Because every time I picked up the fork to eat, somehow that movement sent these waves of joy to my body. And it was so intense, I couldn't continue. I had to put the fork down. And then I'd try again. Cascading, or you know, big waves kind of washing over one. And you find in the early texts of Buddhism, in the stories and poems of the Buddha and other kind of enlightened people from the time of the Buddha, disciples of the Buddha, a lot of different what's called paeans of joy, expressions of joy. And some of these contain expressions like feasting on joy, we shall feast on joy. Another one is drinking joy, we shall drink joy, or drinking the joy of the Dharma is one expression. So Dharma joy is an aspect of the path. I read recently that there was a survey done of people from around the world, different countries, where they were rating or how happy people were in different countries. And I was surprised, as probably many people were, about which country got to the top of that list. Who had the, you know, as a country, is going to, who scored highest in the happiness factor? Anybody want to guess? What? India. That was one guess.
Bali.
What?
Thailand.
Well, that's all very interesting. Yes.
Bhutan.
Well, India and Bhutan are close, because the one that scored the highest was Bangladesh. And, you know, Bangladesh has a lot of difficulty, a lot of problems there, you know, a lot of poverty. And I don't think they were happy because they had, you know, DSL lines, or the equivalent. So, as you know, often been pointed out that people can be quite poor and be filled with delight, have a lot of joy. And people can have a lot of material goods, a lot of wealth, and they can be quite unhappy. That material goods is not... similar kind of survey was done of Norway many years ago when I was back there. I'm originally from Norway. This is about 20 years ago. And the vast majority of Norwegians 20 years ago felt the quality of their life had gone down over the last 10, 15 years. So from the 60s and 70s, that somehow they had more things. They had people, more people had cars, more people had homes, more people had all this stuff. And you know, people actually felt they were happier before. Enlightenment in Buddhism is sometimes called the great happiness, the Mahasukha. And the Buddha sometimes is called, he has a lot of epithets, the name for the Buddha. And one of the epithets for the Buddha, titles he has, is he's the joyful one, the happy one. And so joy. So that's enough of an introduction. Because what I'd like to do this evening is to have you guys break into small groups of about six people. And then just go around the circle. Now, you don't have to speak if you don't want to, but just you can just sit quietly and wait until this is over, or just join a circle. But I prefer, if you don't want to talk, you sit and listen to what people say. And get into groups of about six, and then just go around the room and talk about what your experience or connection or understanding is of spiritual joy. And so, not the joy of having DSL lines. But something that somehow, either directly or indirectly, or somehow belongs to this somewhat vague category of spirituality. So if you don't use that word, just kind of pretend you do or something. You know, something that more or less fits that domain of life. And talk about your connection, your experience of spiritual joy, your understanding. What kind of joys have you had in your life that somehow you would call spiritual joy? And we just go around the circle, and perhaps we'll take about 20 minutes or so for each group to talk amongst themselves, and then we'll reconvene here. Is that okay? If you could express your appreciation or whatever you need to do to close up your group and then reform as a large group. Silence is joyful. So, the word spiritual is not a Buddhist word. Buddhists who speak English will often use the word. Probably one of the closest things to that word spiritual is those qualities, those aspects, those elements that are connected to the Buddhist path, the path of practice. And so part of the one aspect of walking the Buddhist path, all the different elements of it, doing all the different parts of it, is each of those parts are meant to, including other things, are meant to bring joy, or joy-producing, happiness-making kind of things. And then the thing is to avail ourselves of that happiness. And that's often hard for people to do, so people can practice generosity, do something generous, and then not really take the time to, or the space in their psyche, to really let that generosity nurture, nourish, enhance their sense of joy and their happiness. So there's the happiness of generosity, there's the happiness of ethics, there's the happiness of developing the mind, the happiness of having good qualities, happiness of love, of compassion. There's the happiness of letting go, of renunciation, which we'll talk about on Friday. The joy of renunciation. Renunciation is supposed to be joyful. Most people, don't want to get close to renunciation. But it's one of those great joy-producing practices in Buddhism. And there's a joy of a concentrated mind. It's one of the most really joyful thing. There's a joy of a pure mind, and the mind has some purity in it. It's really a beautifully joyful thing to feel that, to experience it, to see it. There's a joy of liberation, of freedom. There's a joy of an empty mind. I'm really struck how often, that a certain kind of high quality of empty mind, being empty in the mind, comes along with a lot of joy. So empty doesn't mean it's emptied out completely. But, you know, we're emptied of our thoughts, our preoccupations, our concerns, our worries, that we burden the mind. It's kind of a certain kind of emptiness that somehow it's almost as if there's this innate quality of joy or delight that's in the emptiness of the mind or the natural function of the mind which is not burdened by its own thoughts. And then there's a joy of seeing all these things in other people and seeing other people who are generous and have some ethical purity or are practicing or have experience of love or delight or freedom or ease in their life and joy. It's just really great to see it. I feel a lot of joy coming and sitting here with all of you, just to sit here. It's amazing. I think it's really, you know, awesome and amazing thing that a group of people, this many people, would choose on a Monday night to come and spend 45 minutes meditating together. I mean, that's amazing to me. I mean, that's, you know, I've been doing it for Monday nights for 14 years, and I'm still kind of amazed that people want to do this. It brings me a lot of joy that this would be the way. This would be the case. So there's the issue of availing ourselves of the joy, taking the time to feel it, or let it in somehow. A lot of people don't let in the possibilities of joy in their life because we're really busy. We have really important things to think about. And we can't, you know, much more important than... No? And so part of the art of learning happiness and joy is to really understand well what gets in the way of it, what stands in the way. And that's a kind of a basic principle of Buddhist practice that is very, I think is very important, is that Buddhism has a lot of ideals. And rather than going for the ideals directly, trying to hold on to it, try to make yourself joyful directly, one of the ways we deal with Buddhism's ideals in Buddhism is to look in what gets in the way of them. And that's a healthier approach sometimes, because then we're kind of clearing the dust, cleaning up the scene, so that what's inherent there can kind of shine forth. And so in terms of joy, what gets in the way of joy? And each of you have a lot of different answers for that, what gets in the way of your joy. But I'd like to suggest that you look and see if, investigate in your life whether one of the things that gets in the way of your capacity to feel joy and happiness at times is not allowing for it. Not creating a little bit of space of allowance or permission or doing a very simple kind of reflection that might bring a certain kind of joy. It doesn't mean you have to stop being depressed or stop being, you know... You know, this is very important to say so people don't feel left out of this exercise. Certain little simple reflections about, you know, the world around us or our experiences and, you know, ourselves, and kind of let ourselves be happy a little bit. Little hints, a modicum of little joy and delight that wouldn't be there because you didn't take the time to experience it. You were driving on the road and it's really important to get to where you're going, right? And you see someone, help someone across the street. You can just keep driving, right? But you can also kind of keep driving, kind of take that in. Well, look at that. Someone just helped someone. Isn't that something? Imagine that there are such people in the world who will help someone, strangers across the street who need help. And just kind of like, just, you don't have to have any more reflections than that. Sometimes just saying it in your mind again, oh, look at that. Someone just helped someone across the street. That, you know, see what happens if you let your mind be empty with that kind of resonating in it, and probably would be some little bit of joy or happiness or something. So are there ways then to kind of condition or improve the chances that we can experience joy and happiness in our lives in ways that don't require us to do things, you know, like, you know, to change our life so much? The idea is that there's joy and happiness which is available in everybody's life. Much more than we avail ourselves of. It's right there. It's available. Maybe not great cascading joy, but minor joy, simple joy. This, you know, simple joys of love life. And those simple joys of life, taking them in, using, availing yourselves of them, letting them kind of condition the heart and the mind, are really important parts of the Buddhist spiritual path, spiritual life. They create the right conditions, the right soil in the mind, in the heart, so that, for example, meditation practice can proceed and do its work. So those are my thoughts. So may the path that you walk be one that brings you and others more joy. Thank you.